I noticed that they put that on there.
I haven't done it in a while. I'm out of practice. Good morning, everyone. We're trying to haul them in. Come on up here, girl. You can come. We don't have a choir yet. We need to start that choir. Good morning, everyone. As we gather in Jesus' name, let us give thanks. Guys, let's get started by welcoming one another this morning and passing greetings along. Look to your neighbor and look to your neighbor to the left and your neighbor to the right and tell everybody good morning. Welcome each person for being here this morning.
Hey, neighbor. A real neighbor.
Larry's going to welcome some.
Hey, John. How you doing?
I want to start just by recognizing any first-time visitors that we might have this morning. If you have brought a first-time visitor, or if you are a first-time visitor, please raise your hand. Let us recognize you.
Don't think we got it.
We don't have any first-time visitors. That's good. Nice to see our usual faces. Yeah, we do encourage everyone to bring friends, bring visitors to join us. Sunday morning worship and also Wednesday night worship. Please see your bulletin for announcements. But at this time, I'm sure we have some announcements. I know yesterday was a fun day here at Jenkins with our Christmas bazaar, our sleigh bell bazaar. And is there any information?
The first service group gave Sherry a round of applause in her absence.
There she is.
No, but she's here this morning. Beyond the call of duty, she didn't even go to bed Friday night, Saturday morning, until we was in her home about 4:30 yesterday.
She was out of it.
And but we had a good day, and a lot of smiling faces, a lot of encouragement. a lot of helpers. I think she'll probably talk about her helpers.
Sherry, go ahead.
I want to thank everyone, because for months this has been taking place at nobody knew, but from the office table, doing stuff, and then for almost 2 weeks, standing up, getting ready for it, and all the decorations, making stuff, everybody making stuff, the sales, baking, it was just wonderful. And I can't believe how people came together. And I think it's because we've all been together so many years. We know what each other is going to be doing, and we know the kind of each other, and we work so good together. It's just amazing how they came together. Whether they came in, everybody that came to yesterday. And it's like Mr. Wagner said, it's 90% of it is not the money factor that we make from it. It's the everybody gets to be with each other yesterday. See each other, because a lot of times you don't see all these people till you have something like this. And they come out to it and get you social with those people. So for that, I'm so thankful and thank everybody. Everybody keep coming and helping and doing everything. Thank you.
Oh, y'all, really, the bazaar is fun. I just like to be here just because. If I'm not selling my jewelry, I'm going to park myself right there. Anyway, it is a fun event. And you know the thing that I thought, Sherry, it's growing every year, and that excites me. To see Jenkins, people expecting something, and every year it growing. And I think that, and that's such a wonderful blessing. And one more time, let's just give Sherry a great hand, a round of applause for all her hard work.
And all the 20 years she's ever done the bazaars and all that, she's never seen a place decorated the way
it was. It's very pretty. Mm-hmm.
Decorated and pretty.
So it's fun. It's a wonderful way to kind of kick off the holidays and get you in. Yes, Sharon. Santa, busy Santa. He's got a hectic schedule from now to the end of the year, so we all love and want to thank Santa for his hard work and Mrs. Claus. They spent their whole day with us yesterday, and aren't we special? Are there any other announcements?
Brentwood, the old Brentwood Cumberland Presbyterian Church, I think it's 508 Frankton Road in Brentwood, will have an open house today from 4 to 6. At 6 o'clock, Renaissance will be there to sing. And Renaissance is not a musical presentation, it's a musical experience.
Oh my goodness.
80 students from Buffalo College, and that fabulous keyboardist, but he has a partner now that can outdo him. We heard him at homecoming, I guess, and they did a keyboard battle. Is that what you'd call it? And they fight over who's the best keyboardist. So I don't know if they do that today or not, but they'll be at Brentwood at 6 o'clock for an open house. Also,
we have like a deal tonight.
We have dinner tonight,
it's
but I'm going
to,
if anybody,
rock,
if
I'm
so,
you
got to make a choice. And what we could do for Brentwood is pray for them, and if you don't want lunch or supper, you go there. We'll tell you about the budget next week. We'll just eat your part of the supper.
Budget, okay. Renaissance.
We've also got a man being ordained to the gospel ministry in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church this afternoon, and Tommy Jones will be participating there down at Fidusha Church down close to Pulaski. And that's news there. So I just wanted to pass that on.
Well, I'm empty in the house tonight because I just have to say, if you have not seen Renaissance, they will blow your mind. It is amazing. I'm excited just because he mentioned it, and we didn't know what we were doing tonight, but now we do. It is an amazing experience, y'all. Ooh, wonderful. You will walk out so blessed.
More dressing for me.
I'm not trying to run y'all off from the budget meeting, but if you have not experienced it, you really should take advantage of that. Susan? It's at 6.
Well, I'll be here. But
Well, I think I have play practice.
Thank you.
From 4:30, well, let's see, course is at 4:30 to 5, and so we were going to try to squeeze in a children's Christmas play practice from 4:30 to 6. If they're in the choir, that's fine, but those that don't participate in choir, we're going to practice our dance during that time. But we may actually make it cutting out at a quarter till 6. So we're not actually going to practice till 6 tonight. Now we're going to practice till about a quarter till 6. So don't be here on time to pick up your children at a quarter till. Okay. So I can go see Renaissance. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was exciting. I'm sorry. I got all Twitter pages. All right, y'all. Let's go ahead and see if anyone has any prayer requests this morning. Remember, when you make a prayer request, you may want to go ahead and jot that down and drop it into the offering plate for spelling. Is there anyone?
Yes. I mentioned last week that I wanted you to pray for Roy Stevens. He did hang on until Saturday morning early, but he passed away. So remember his family, Jimmy and Carla, of Roy Stevens, family of Roy Stevens.
Yes.
My dad, who's been in and out of hospital so much lately, got reports this week that his cancer is in remission.
Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful blessing. I know you're great. That's so. Thank you for sharing that with us this morning.
One of the young men that I work with, his brother found out Friday that he has cancer. He's 31 years old. He's really struggling with it right now. So.
You need to get a name. Chris Norris. I know there was a terrible wreck in Nolensville yesterday. I don't know who was involved. I know there were fatalities, but just kind of keep those people that we really don't know and those people that we don't know their outcomes. Remember to keep them in your prayers, military as well. Anyone else? Prayer or praise requests? A small praise request, and it may seem silly, y'all, but the women's bathroom is so nice and warm this morning. If you're a woman and you've been coming to this church for a long time, that's a wonderful blessing. So, little things don't forget to be thankful for. Okay, we're going to just pause for a moment of silent worship, and we want to welcome Jesus, the light of the world, into Jenkins this morning. Please bow your heads. O Jesus, our great high priest, be present with us as you were present with your disciples, and make yourself known to us in this hour. Call to worship this morning is responsive. I think each of you should have an insert. Or not. Turn to page 558 in your hymnal. I'm kind of rusty. It's been a while. I camped a lot this summer. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good.
You care for the land and water. You enrich it abundantly.
The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it.
You crown the year with your bounty. Your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness.
The meadows are covered with flocks,
and the valleys are mantled with grain.
They shout for you and sing.
He makes grass grow for the cattle, and plants for man to cultivate, bring forth food from the earth. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with all goods. I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord.
Let's all stand and turn our hymnals one page to hymn 559, Come Ye Thankful People Come.
Come ye thankful people come, raise the song of hearted souls. All is changing, gathering, and the winter storms begin. God, our Maker, doth provide for our wants to be so bright. Come in God's own temple, come, wait for us on the harvest home. All the world is God's own field, who come through his praise to hear. We can end in heaven now, until joy or sorrow grow. First the day and then the year, this is for the child of man. What a glorious friend that we, so great and good and mean. For the Lord our God shall come, and shall take his harvest home. From his field shall in the day all offenses burn away. Give his angels praise for this beautiful world in which we live, a free country,
challenges before us, for the opportunities to live in this community and to witness to our faith. We give thanks today for all Christians who worship you today and to turn to you in the name of Christ because of your salvation provided through his death on the cross for us. In this week, we pray that often we will have the opportunity to continue to offer our praise, to be with family, to be with all who travel. Guide us as we continue to honor you this day in word and voice, in thought, as we offer the prayer that Christ taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please remain standing. We will state our faith. I apologize for failing to turn off my microphone.
I believe
in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In our Bible study this morning, we talked a little bit about confessing sins, and I just kind of wanted to just do a little thing that's in our study that Gary talked about this morning. It says, although Jesus already paid the price for our sins, we must still take ownership of our sins. If we don't take ownership of it and admit to God that we have sinned, are sorry for it, and are in need of forgiveness, then we will not receive that forgiveness. God does call us to confess our sins. A call to confession comes from Psalm 9:15. They will call on me. I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will deliver them and honor them. Please join me in our prayer of confession. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts. Cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength, through Jesus Christ, our Son. Amen. God also offers, through the Scriptures, our assurance of forgiveness. Today that Scripture is Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God.
Turn your hymnals again, if you will, please. Hymn 565. It's actually just a chorus. Play through that one time, please.
all those good things.
But we need to be faithful each and every day, though, because as it tells us in the Bible, every good gift comes from the Father above, and that is absolutely true. Well, I have some good news to share with you. Remember what I told you a few, about a month back, that Trapper had to go to boot camp on the court? Okay, well, we went and got Trapper yesterday, and Trapper is a changed sport. Trapper was real happy to see us, too, when we pulled up. He was in the barn, and he just had his little head sticking out. And when we drove up and got out of the truck, he nickered to us like, oh, it's them. You know, he was really happy to see us. And we both rode him. And the man that was riding for us said he was absolutely one of the smartest horses he'd ever ridden. And he was delighted. He couldn't scare him. He said, I tried to scare him. He walked through mud. He went up mountains. He did everything. He said he's so curious about everything. You can't scare him. And that's true. We knew that. And there was really one funny thing that he said to us. He said, and he's quite the escape artist. And I said, oh, Robin, you forgot to tell me that. And he said, yeah, I'd meet you in the barn. And I'd go in the house and I'd look out the window and he'd be eating in the yard. I'd go back out and I'd meet you again and tighten his halter up and I'd look out and he'd be out there again. He said, finally, I put it on as tight as I could get it, and he still had one ear out when I get back out there. And I said, yeah, we have a special halter for him because he doesn't believe that he should have to stand there that long. So, but anyway, we have a big responsibility. We're very thankful. This is a great gift that we've been given because we thought that he might not be able to be, you know, ridden because he's been pretty ugly. But that was our fault, too, because we had loved him and loved him and loved him. And pampered him and pampered him and pampered him because he's had such a hard way to go till we spoiled him. And so Robert has got him now where he's not spoiled. He realizes that people walking on two legs are in charge now. But we've got to keep that for him. And that's, you know, our Lord. Our Lord will sometimes have to show up that we've gotten off the path. He doesn't make us get off the path. He wants us to stay on the path, and he wants us to love him, and he wants us to receive every good thing he has to give us. But being human beings, we're tempted by lots of things. We're tempted to do things that are not nice. We're tempted to do things that we shouldn't do. And we have to remember that, and that's what we ought to be thankful for. You need to be thankful for the fact that you have someone that loves you enough that they can always be here today. So you can worship your Lord and Savior. And then as you learn and you continue to grow, you're able to go out there and do what with what you know about the Lord? You're going to keep it all to yourself? No, you're going to share it. That's right. You're going to share it. You're going to share it with everybody you know because there's no greater gift than to know that you are a child of the Lord. Is that a good idea? Good deal. And can we be thankful not just on Thanksgiving Day, but be thankful every day? Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm thankful for each and every one of you. Let's go up to the meeting.
It's mine. I know. We're going to sing today a song that we've been practicing in children's choir. And, pardon? A what song? Oh, well, that's all right. It's a fun song, she wants me to tell you. And our leaders were Catherine and Elizabeth, and I don't see either one of them here this morning. So we've nominated Tucker. You volunteer? Good. Okay, JT's going to sing the second time. So you all need to stand up facing their congregation. They're out there. Go stand over there. Sit. So you can see them. I'll come out and sing in the front. Oh, no. I think they need to leave. Tucker, this is yours. Tucker's going to stand right here.
Life without Jesus is like a donut.
I've also been asked to sing with the community cantata, so they're practicing songs for that production too. I don't know about y'all, but Andrea's message always is loud and clear for me. It's not just a children's message. It's a message that applies to each and every one of us, and we're very thankful to you, Andrea, for that. Now, you're going to need your insert. We have a responsive reading. You should have had an insert in your bulletin. A responsive reading comes from Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To Him who alone does great wonders. Who by His understanding made the heaven. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great light?
His love.
The sun to govern the day?
His love.
The moon and the stars to govern at night?
His love.
To Him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt?
His love.
And brought Israel out from among them?
His love.
With a mighty hand and outstretched arm. To Him who divided the Red Sea asunder. And brought Israel through the midst of it. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To Him who led His people through the desert. Who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings. Sion, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance. An inheritance to His servant Israel. To the one who remembered us in our low estate. And freed us from our enemies. And who gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God in heaven. His love endures forever. We offer thanks to God in many ways. We offer thanks for our tithes and our offerings. Our offertory sentence today comes from the book of Exodus 35, verses 4 and 5. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. For what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold,
silver, and bronze. Will our ushers please come forward?
Let us pray. Holy God, you have been willing to give even above our greatest dreams. And we pray that you'll give us truly willing hearts to share that which you have given us, materially and spiritually. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's sing the first and the third.
Take his saving breath.
Please join me in hearing God's Word. Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of John 15, verses 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God. Some things we are called to do with ourselves are within ourselves. Other things we are called to do with other people. And today, this sermon, in general, is how we relate to other people. So it's one of those that we're sent to other people, making disciples. Making disciples. To follow up, this sermon is the follow up of the rest of last Sunday's sermon, Fruitful Christians Are Be Fruitful and Multiply. We use the passage from Luke 14, the great banquet passage of Luke last Sunday, and then the great commission, Jesus telling the disciples right before he ascended to heaven to go and make more disciples. His closing words: Christians are called to produce other Christians, or to make other Christians. Or one way to put it is, Christians are called to bring people who do not know Jesus to Jesus, where he can save them. Often I'm asked, how many souls did you save this week, preacher? And my standard answer, I didn't save a soul. I can't save a soul, but I can introduce people to Jesus. And if they're so willing, he will save them. Bringing lost people, lost and undone is one phrase for them, lost from the fellowship of God's family, lost to the kingdom of God. And we are challenged, we are commanded, we are commissioned to bring the lost to Jesus. or to make other Christians, or to make disciples. I believe that God has spoken to me in recent days or weeks, and I'm very hesitant to say this most of the time, because I've heard people give their testimony of how God has spoke to them, and I would say, couldn't have been that way. I've been very cautious also because people have told me that God told them something to tell me. And I contend that I talked to him too the same day, and he didn't say a thing to me about it. But I believe that God has spoken to me. Maybe he spoke a long time ago and it's just getting through. Where it comes from, you can help me determine that. You may even help me determine if it's really God. He spoke through his word. He spoke through a friend who says he probably has 4 years to retirement, and he hasn't, though he had an interest in personal evangelism for all of his ministry, he wants to dedicate, or he has dedicated, what he calls the last 4 years, or probably the last 4 active years of ministry, to personal evangelism, one-on-one evangelizing, and training his congregation to be evangelist. His sorrow as he comes to somewhere near the close of his ministry, he says, is that he hasn't trained more people in the congregation where he has pastored to be personal evangelists, or train them how to lead other people to Jesus Christ. There have been some comments made, and I listen to a lot of comments. Some maybe are directed toward me, and some may just be said in passing. But I believe God uses these comments to speak to me. And he may do it to you too. He may, I think last week I mentioned, he plants thoughts in our minds, or he gives us thoughts. People said, and I came to realize, well, maybe it's God enabled us to realize. But others, somebody can say something, and that can spark a thought and turn you to God. So part of my understanding of God speaking to me recently in a special way, as I see it a special way, is some comments. Very encouraging comments. Okay? So that's where we're coming from. Yes, I believe that God has spoken to me and told me to encourage you. Now, I could say that God spoke to me and told me to tell you. But I've already told you what kind of problem I have when somebody tells me that. So I'll be nice, as nice to you as I want people to be to me. So if you really know that God has said something to you to pass on to me, maybe I was deaf that day and I'm willing to at least listen to it, then we'll go talk to him and say, God, did you really tell them to tell me that, okay? So, but God has told me, I think, to encourage you, the congregation that I've had the privilege of being somewhat of the spiritual leader of it. Jesus used the vine and the branches that grow out from that vine, probably a grapevine, I'm just guessing it's a grapevine, to illustrate the way that his people, the way that you and I, as God's people, are to and how we can produce fruit for the kingdom of God and for heaven, or the kingdom of God that is heaven. You remember what God said to Adam and Eve? Genesis 1:28, I believe it is. Be fruitful and multiply. And we read that and we say, that is a message to Adam and Eve to populate the earth. Right? It is. Be fruitful and multiply. But that's also a message to the people who are born into the kingdom of God, who have experienced that second birth that John talks about in John chapter 3. To be fruitful and multiply. You've been born anew Now, help other people be born anew, or be born a second time, or experience a second birth, or get saved, or become members of the kingdom of God, the family of God. Bear much fruit. That's what he says in this parable about the vine and the branches. Bear much fruit. And he says, he's the vine. Jesus says, he's the vine. And we are the branches. And if we expect to bear much fruit, it's a requirement, a necessity, that we are attached to the vine. He's the vine, we're the branches. Fruit does not grow on the vine, fruit grows on the branches. Jesus is the vine. We attach to him, and we produce fruit for him. Christians making Christians. And Jesus says, bear much fruit. I've said throughout my ministry, if I help one person come to know Jesus as Savior, that would be a good ministry. But is it good enough? If I had opportunity to reach more lives, and I only reach one, well, it would be worthwhile for that person especially. But can we reach more? And then can I encourage you to reach more? And let's do multiplication instead of adding a few. There are a lot of people out of the family of God or outside the family of God. Listen to them on TV or radio, or listen to what they've said. And look around. A lot of people outside the family of God. A lot of people in need of salvation. There's one fellow in one church that I was pastor of, and he often led in prayer. We'd invite him to lead in prayer. And he would pray for that lost and undone world. And that's the big part of the world, the lost and undone. Lost from the love of God, the salvation through Jesus Christ. With so many people outside the family of God, are we not moved, or challenged, or urged to do what we can to bring them in? I think of that song, bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus, that he might save them. How can we bring people to Jesus Christ? How can we do it? Now, at the end of this list that I have presented to you, there's an ETC, period. So this is not an inclusive list, an all-inclusive list. But it's some good suggestions for a church to use in reaching people for Jesus. We still have a seat or two for people to sit in if they come. So we still have some space. First 8 o'clock service has some space, so it's grown about 15 a Sunday. Last 20 a Sunday. Last Sunday, I think it was up about 25 over the average. But we still got a few spots here, so we've got room in the church. Before it is full, if you go back to Luke chapter 14. So one way we can use to bring people to Jesus Christ is every one of us. And this is every one of us doing our part to honor God the Father and Jesus the Son, and every one of us doing all that we can do or know how to do to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That we honor God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit through our lives. Or the opposite of that is that we do nothing to disgrace the church of Jesus Christ. That we live lives that are as pure and clean and honorable and Christian as we can live. In our words, in our action, in our thinking, in our what we participate in, that we live lives that will glorify God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. The second thing you will say is every one of us doing all that we can to make the best church that it can be. And my first thought was to make this the best church in the area. And that's not an honorable thought. Because we want every church to be the best that they can be. And I don't want to be any better than any church. But I want those churches. Mentioned Brentwood this morning, and I'm not trying to send people away from supper tonight because I can eat more. I just want to honor the Brent Haven Church. And they're celebrating their new building, and we know what a joy that is. And so if you don't need supper and you're already going to give all you can give to the budget, you know, and you're going to double your giving for next year, you can go over to the Brentwood Church this afternoon and help them sing a little bit and everything. They may have a cookie or two, but I want them to have a great experience. I want the Methodist Church down the street to have a great experience, both ways, you know. And I want them all to be as good as they can be. But I want us to be as good as we can be, as good as we can possibly be. And there's some things that make a church great, I think, or make a people great, a community great. One is being friendly, and you have been wonderful in welcoming new people, welcoming strangers into the congregation. I still see kind of a visitor sitting by himself this morning, but Diana has not allowed herself to sit by herself anymore, so thank you, Diana. But we still have a few people that are not sitting with us, but maybe they just kind of want to be alone. But one of the most lonesome places could be is to be in a large church and everybody else visiting and nobody visiting with you, especially if you're a visitor. I'll say that again. But you've been real good in welcoming new people. One thing I've said this year that people have responded to because they come back and say, we were real friendly, were we not? Okay, so y'all have been real good. Thank you. Right. Okay. Remember, we never know when it is an angel that we are welcoming. But we want to welcome other people just like we would welcome an angel. But then be a loving church. And I think we're a loving church, but we can't talk about it too much. We need to keep being reminded of being loving, 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 because I have a tendency to forget that I'm supposed to love. And I have a tendency to get selfish. Over and over we are told to love one another. And I want to remind you that this passage, even where Jesus was talking about producing fruit, he mixed that message up with love one another, didn't he? Kind of intertwined. Read those 17 verses. He talks about producing fruit, but he talks about love. Can you separate the two? A loving congregation of people. Greatest commandment, love God with all that you are. Second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. Being good students of the Word, a good church that people will benefit from being a part of, is a church that knows the Word of God, and not only knows the Word of God, but also lives the Word of God. We know it, we do it, we learn it, we live it. Don't just learn it to quote, but learn it to live by. So, we need to know more and more of the Word of God. Did you know Psalm 136 was in there with all of those, what's that refrain? It was in Basel, Arkansas, probably 1968. What's that, 38 years later. We had a community Thanksgiving service, and the preacher that led the responsive reading, he was an older black man, and he really got us sing-songing on this one. And he led us in this psalm, Psalm 136. His love endures forever. Psalm 136. Did we know that was in there? recently I have been doing some special study to write some little articles. I've mentioned this two or three times but from the pulpit, but it's been enlightening. It's been enlightening to read the Word that I've read before, but I may have kind of skimmed it. I read it in detail so that you can write it in a condensed form. No, I'm not trying to, I'm trying to write little stories, little accounts of certain people's lives. So I have to read a lot about it, but put a life in about 100 words. I think Samson, it took me 400 words. Samson was quite a character, wasn't he? Know what to avoid. One of his worst things, he was, I think, a spoiled brat. He wanted a Philistine, he was a Hebrew or an Israelite, he wanted a Philistine wife. And his folks said, boy, you don't need that Philistine wife. He said, I want her, get her for me. And they did. Didn't last. And then Delilah, well, that wasn't Delilah, there was one before her. And then he got Delilah and she did him in. Cohorting with the enemy. Know the Word, do the Word. Psalm 119. You know that's the longest chapter in the Bible if you divide the Psalms into chapters. Where the 176 verses, it talks about the benefits of the Word. One thing I've lived with, it's a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. We know how to walk in the world securely and safely through the Word of God. Live the Word. James, in the first chapter, in the 22nd verse, tells us to live the Word. So the psalmist tells us to live the Word. Paul tells us to live the Word. James said other throughout the Bible. Then we need to be an encouraging church. That's a necessity, an encouraging church. Hebrews 10:25 talks about coming to church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as is the manner of some, but can I turn here and read 10:25? But let us encourage one another. And if you stay home from church, you might discourage. That's in the same verse, isn't it? Let us encourage one another. Lou Holtz. Do you know who Lou Holtz is? I found a book the other day. I think it came from Grace Works. The Wisdom of Southern Football. Did you know there was such a thing? Do the two go together, wisdom and Southern football? Okay, they do. Lou Holtz. One of the little phrases gift to him. Four words. Praise loudly. Criticize softly. We've probably got that turned around, haven't we? An encouraging person, an encouraging advice. Praise loudly. Criticize softly. Fifth grade, Ms. Nichols. She would not let us criticize unless it was helpful criticism. And there is such a thing as helpful criticism. She kept insisting we could not criticize and snigger at and laugh at. We had to criticize in a helpful way. Affirming. We need to be an affirming people. Romans 12:10 says, honor one another above yourselves. That's affirming. If we honor somebody above ourselves, that's affirming. And then 13:10. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Kind of the negative side of it, right? The negative approach. Do no harm to your neighbor. That would mean that we would encourage them. And then 14:10. You then, why do you judge your brother? Question mark. With the suggestion later, don't be judgmental. Be encouraging. That's a suggestion. And then 14:19. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Let's do everything that we can not to tear one another down, but to build one another up. And then you notice after that, there's an EPC period. There's some more. That's not the end of these things, but it's all that you'll stay and listen to today. And with this kind of attitude prevailing, word will get around. Word has gotten around. We shared a little bit yesterday. Didn't we smile a lot and have fun? And people coming in, and we gave them brochures, but we smiled at them. Word gets around when we have this kind of attitude, this kind of atmosphere. The challenge is to reach out to our unchurched friends. And I like what Jude says, and I think one of the songs that we sang had that little scripture verse up at the top it refers to, I think it was one for today, says, snatch them out of the fire. So some you can invite out, but some you have to grab and snatch out of the fire, maybe. Okay? You know somebody that needs to be snatched out of it? Snatch them out. Years ago, the church, I guess, former preacher at Woodbine before Tommy, started in this area a church growth movement in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, and we studied about it and we worked at it, and churches grew. And I think this church was an outgrowth of that. This church is one of the experiences that came out of that, kind of out of that, but it was out of that, a result of that, out of the trust of the church. But in our studies, we talked about having church growth eyes. Somebody looked at Nolensville, they looked at the Cumberland Presbyterians that are living here, looked at the people that needed the church that were moving here, and they had eyes about church growth. Well, that's a good phrase, but I think I've got a better one. I want to think about kingdom building eyes. That we're building the kingdom of God, not just the local church, but the local church as it is a part of the kingdom of God. Let's look around us and see people that can be added to the kingdom of God. And if we see them and if we recognize that, God's probably telling us to go and invite them. Or snatch them if you have to. The multiplying process. Well, some time ago, Fran, if I may use, didn't ask you to do this, he meant to, can I use your name? And I may have done this before as I think about it. Fran in Memphis years ago, Bobby Scobie was his name. He developed the Fran approach to reaching people. And it was reach out to your friends, your friends, your acquaintances, F-R. Friends, your relatives, your acquaintances, and your neighbors. Friends, relatives, acquaintances, your neighbors. The Fran outreach program, if you will. And we all have got friends or relatives and neighbors, and some of them need to be snatched. Multiplication. Peter preached a sermon on the day of Pentecost, and there were 3,000 souls added. I haven't had that kind of luck preaching, folks. I don't multiply additional people into the church like that. But what about instead of one bringing 3,000, how about one bring one? I was pretty good in math, better at math than I was at spelling. I'm better at math than I am at spelling, I guess. One bring one. How many does that make? And then two bring one each. How many does that make? And four bring one each. How many does that make? That's all the fingers I got. And eight bringing one each. How many does that make? 16. And 16 bringing one each. How many does that make? 32. And I better stop there because my math might get bad. And if we do this, we won't have to worry about anybody being left behind. Remember the series. Everybody got upset about people being left behind, but most things we did is worry about it. Did we go out and invite anybody into the kingdom? Did it challenge us to do that. Joyce Meyer. I flipped the channels and found Joyce. Same sermon about preaching it twice. She said for years she was a good Christian on her way to heaven, but she didn't even think about taking anybody with her. And she was challenging her congregation, whoever she was speaking to, take somebody with you. So I'm challenging you. Don't just go to heaven by yourself. You need a friend when you get there. At least somebody to talk to until you meet somebody else. And make a new friend in heaven. Or while you're standing in line waiting to shake hands with Jesus. Do you have to stand in line in heaven to shake hands with Him? But do you think about taking somebody with you? Sam, let's sing. And we're going to do, what is it, $3.99 or $2.99? $2.99. And we're going to sing one verse. I don't know what kind of response you want to make this morning, but if there's any kind of public response that you feel that you need to make, I invite you here, and I'll